All right, Padres Collective is back on this off day. The calendar about to flip to May. This is the Padres Collective brought to you by Prize Picks. A lot to get to over the next hour. John Schaefer with Matt Devine and Kevin Acey. We will get your super chats. We appreciate your support of this channel. If you want to see your comment on screen, we will have time for your questions towards the end of this show. But we do appreciate your support. You can click the dollar sign below the chat box. We're over 2,000 subscribers, by the way. Please do subscribe to this channel. Let's get to 2,100 subscribers following tonight's episode. And there's a lot to get into, whether it's Fernando Tatis Jr. or previewing the upcoming series against the White Sox, maybe some injury updates. The Padres, as we speak, are conducting their gala here tonight, and everyone is dressed to the nines, including Emma Stone and her husband. So a lot to react to here over the next hour. Padres through April, guys. And I had Kevin on the radio yesterday, but again, we flip the calendar to May. Hard to ask for more collectively, speaking of the collective as a team, with the Padres 19-11 overall. I think all in all, on the field, a lot of success individually, a lot of talking points in there as well. But hard to complain, I think, if you're a Padres fan about the start this team has gotten off to so far this year.
Matt, you're the Padres fan, and I do want to hear. I want to hear.
Well, I see the comments already, and a couple people are asking if why Big Kev isn't at the gala. Just want to let you know, we said earlier, Kevin was invited to the gala. So just to let everybody know, he was invited. The Padres are playing good ball. It's a tough series against the Cubs, honestly. We had our opportunities, walked way too many people. I think that's the reason why we lost that series, to be completely honest. We'll talk about that later. Overall, we started the season 2-5. Right now, or are we 19-11, 19-12?
19-11.
Hey, if you were to tell me this after our first episode of The Collective, I'd sign up for that every single day. The boys are playing some good baseball. We're going to touch on Tatis. We're going to touch on probably Merrill, Manny maybe. But at the same time, it's like, that was a fun month of baseball. And as a fan, that's all I can ask for. It's a long season. Kevin, I think you brought it up in the first episode or first couple episodes. Or maybe game three now, maybe 2.5 of an NFL season. It's really early in the season, right? And before Memorial Day, I like to always take Memorial Day, or my birthday is June 3rd. I usually think that's when you kind of know if a team's legit or not, right? For example, the Mets right now, they're stinking. They go on a 10-2 run, they're right back in it. It's a long season. The Pods have put themselves in a good spot. We also put ourselves in a good spot last year. We saw what happened after that hot stretch. We need our big dogs to play. But overall, if you were to ask me how I feel on April 30th, I feel pretty good.
Hey, you'd rather be this for sure. You'd rather that your hitters that are supposed to be hitting were hitting. I mean, I feel like we've been over this, and you know, probably everyone who's a Padres fan has been talking about this for weeks. And so it is hard to remember that tomorrow is May 1st and that, yeah, Memorial Day is sort of the marker. You know what? Most teams, like the vast majority, 75% of teams, I think, that are in playoff position at the end of May are make it to the playoffs. Now, that's changed a little bit in the last few years with the extra playoff spot. So it's become, in my opinion, a lot more exciting. But it's just so early, though I'm worried about this offense. If I'm the Padres, I'm worried about this offense. I think the more pressing thing or the bigger thing is the state of the rotation. We could talk about that, but I'm worried about this offense. As soon as I say that, though, I go, but wait, Fernando Tatis Jr. has to start hitting home runs, and that could change everything.
Well, that's a really good segue right there. By the way, thank you for the first super of the night. The Beef says all hail the Collective. Guys, if you're here, thank you, The Beef, for the first super of the night. If you're here, subscribe. If you're here, please do smash that like button. Let's get a couple hundred likes on this video here tonight live or on replay. I've been saying this, and I think Kevin to some extent maybe has been writing this, and I'm sure Matt to some extent has been tweeting this. How are they 19-11? It's like the ninth wonder of the world. You know, it's like, it's a little bit of like, it's miraculous that they're 19-11. It really is. There's some stuff in there that on paper doesn't equal 19-11. But if you're watching it, they've had that clutch gene. They've overcome six-run deficits, four-run deficits. They've got the 5-4-run come-from-behind wins in April, the most by a team, I think, in baseball since the 1998 Phillies, I read somewhere. So they've had that clutch gene. Does that continue? arguably. Does it even need to? Once you get eight games over 500, you don't have to do that every single month. So they've had a knack in some of these recent years. I think 2024, they had a little bit of that knack, and it feels like in 2026, they've had that as well, despite Tatis lacking power or Merrill hitting or the rotation looking like we thought it would with Joe Musgrove out and Nick Pivetta out. Despite all that, they've just found ways, which is what you say about good teams sometimes.
As the top guys, the top three, right? And they've been batting in order. The other day it was 1-2-3. It's generally been 2-3-4. Merrill, Tatis, Merrill, Machado. As they have continued to, stay stagnant, to plummet to some extent, the bottom of the order, the bottom four spots in the order are by most measures out hitting the top four spots in the order. Yep. There's your answer as to how they're 19-11 for the most part, right? Obviously, there have been heroes everywhere, including the guys who haven't hit, the big bombers. They have come through in the clutch, and you got to give them credit for that, but they got to do more than that. But that is like mind-boggling that the bottom four, especially if you've watched the Padres, but if you watch baseball, there's a reason you're at the bottom of the order and not the top of the order. And so it's awesome, but like, unless we're talking about like a huge outlier of a season, like, I mean, historically, I haven't even, it's too early for me to even look it up, but I will at some point if it keeps going. It can't continue. This doesn't happen. The bottom of the order doesn't out hit the top. And if it does, you suck. So it's got to change.
Couldn't agree more, Kevin. It's been an awesome month, right? We had when you have your big dogs not perform, let's be honest, they haven't performed, right? Fernando Tatis Jr. is making $25 million. Jackson Merrill is considered one of the best young players in baseball. And Manny Machado is supposedly still in his prime and is still owed $200+ million by the Padres. Those are your three big horses, right? And Xander Bogaerts, who's actually, and love to stay positive, he has been fantastic. And I have someone has been, angry about that contract, angry we signed him. He's been one of my favorite, if not my favorite Padre this year. He's been fantastic. So shout out Xander. We're not talking about him right now, though. Merrill, Toddy, and Manny. If those three are not hitting, you will not win anything. You might have a good month, which is what's happening right now. That being said, you're asking Ty France to have a 1,200 OPS, Gavin Sheets to come through with humongous home runs in big spots every single time. Ramon Laureano had a crazy stretch at the beginning of the season. Miguel Andujar. Those are great pieces on a good team. But the main team or the main, the big hosses need to show up. Tough first month of the season. Are we extremely lucky and extremely happy to be 19-11 going into May when our three best players are objectively not playing well? Absolutely. Do I believe that they're going to also suck next month? I don't. I bet you. And I said this last episode, and maybe comes, May, Memorial Day, we do an episode, and Tatis still hasn't hit a home run, and he's played 42 games, and it's an insane stretch. And if that's the case, I apologize, Padres collective listeners. I really do. I think he's going to turn it up sooner than later. It's been a bummer. It's been a bummer not seeing him hit. Perfect example, and we'll touch on this. Yesterday, eighth inning, bases loaded. Cubs guy can't find the zone. Three straight walks, down 5-3. Whole vibe of the season so far. Comeback kids, incredibly clutch. Perfect opportunity for Fernando. He doesn't even need to hit a home run. Doesn't need to hit a grand slam. Double in the gap. Single ties it up with Manny coming up. Sack fly on a meatball. Buca de Pepo Mira Mesa meatball. It was right there. Olive Garden, Carmel Mountain Ranch. I'm naming all my go-to spots growing up.
Those are your Italian spots.
Those are right. There's a
very Italian.
Does OGs not have meatballs? You're an OGs guy.
It was a meatball. And I bet you Tatis would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. That was a meatball. That was a 2-0, mm-hmm. 2-1 count. That's a pitch where if you're supposed to be the guy, you hit that ball mm-hmm. out of the park, to be completely honest. And he didn't. Manny comes up. Manny, obviously, the two homers in Mexico City was awesome, and he's been hitting the ball a lot better. Grounds into a double play, and we lose that game. That can't happen. That cannot happen. I don't care if it's April 30th. And the reason why I'm saying this, and the reason why it really kind of ticked me off and my friends that I was texting, I've seen that too many times in the playoffs already. These are the guys that are supposed to show up. I don't believe a team's going to win the playoff or win a World Series or make a World Series because Ty France has a, you know, 2000 OPS in the playoffs. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So the big dogs need to start playing better.
If they start playing better, then that's when you look back and you start talking about Gavin Sheets, Ty France, Luis Camposano, the way that you talked about David Peralta and Donovan Solano.
Exactly.
That's what they're supposed to be. Like you say, oh man, remember in April when they carried the team? And that's, you know, that's the kind of lore that you want. It's look, Ty France, man, big Ty France guy since 2020. Yeah. I thought he was going to be a part of this team and be like the super utility forever, right? That's before you really knew that, you know, anybody that was anything that AJ was going to trade him, you know, unless you were one of the top guys, meaning Jackson Merrill or Tatis. But he always going to get rid of all of his kids. But like, I love it. Campusano, how could you not be thrilled for this guy?
Incredible.
I don't care. Look, if you've been ripping him, look, I mean, I've had my doubts for sure, but like, it doesn't matter. Like, you have to be happy for him now. Gavin Sheets, are you kidding me? That's a pro's pro, and he's making the most out of the talent and the limitations that he has. And you have, but I mean, gosh, now we're like beating a dead horse. It just can't keep going like this. It just can't. Maybe for another couple of weeks, but yesterday's game, actually the day before as well, showed you realize that they'd won 8 games in a row in which they came back. If the Padres came back in a game, if they were trailing and they tied it or they went ahead, they ended up winning that game. Mm-hmm. Well, the last 2 games they came back and tied the game and they lost. All I'm saying is that illustrates you can't keep living like that.
Yeah.
Like we knew that, but there was proof. You can't keep living like, oh, it's okay. Our spunky guys, is that a word, spunky? Yeah.
I like
spunky
that word.
Guys will find a way. It's not going to work all the time.
Well, here's the other thing. And we've talked a little bit about this. And maybe it is skewed because of allowing 10 runs in 2 innings, the bullpen of Mexico City in that one game where they blew a 7-1 lead. It was 7-2 when it went to the bullpen. But their bullpen, when we in the offseason were saying Morahone, Adam, Miller, we're like, those pitchers appear in a game, Bradley Rodriguez, you're going to win the game. Like you're, it's almost like we just had said, well, they're going to throw up, you know, scoreless inning after scoreless inning. So if you're tied or ahead, every single time those pitchers appear, you're going to win, right? Well, of course, that's not how the sport works. You look up, all of a sudden their bullpen ERA is 17th or 18th in the sport. Again, a lot of it predicated on a 10-run game. Fair. But still, it has not been baseball's best. Even if you took the 10-run game out, it would have been good, but not baseball's best. And yesterday's a perfect example. I think if Morahone and Adam are clean, they win the game. They will find a way, but they weren't. And what AJ Preller has built 2024-2025 is let me build the dominant bullpen that if I give it leads in the postseason, will preserve them. Maybe. Again, we didn't see them with leads in the 2024 and 2025 postseason. Will they get that opportunity in 2026 remains to be seen. But it's interesting because bullpens can be volatile, so to speak, and you can have a dominant reliever one day, and he's not necessarily that the next. And you're still 5 months from the postseason. The stuff with Machado and Tatis and Merrill, 5 months from the postseason. But with the bullpen as well, it's like I expected them to arguably have baseball's best bullpen. Maybe they will be, but I don't think right now it's performing like that as we sit here flipping the calendar.
It was almost exactly 1 year ago. It was a stretch where they had saved protected like the first 21 leads that they had. And a lot of them were very close leads. They went to New York. They gave up a bunch of runs in like the 8th inning. That started a run of like 6 games where they gave up 31 runs. The most any Padres bullpen has ever given up over 31 innings, 17 and 2/3 innings or something over 6 games. They blew 3 leads in that span. They finished as the best bullpen in baseball by most measure. So, but everything you said is true, including that there's 5 months left.
Yeah. I mean, we could be honest. The bullpen hasn't been great.
We have to be honest, Matt. We owe that.
But no, I know. And trust me, I love that as a super fan, you know, positive guy, the bullpen hasn't been great. There's been some moments where you're like, hey, you're walking. perfect example. Mexico City's a weird. The Mexico City game is a weird game. Honestly, I'm not even going to give him too much grief on that. That what's his name? Tim Tawa hit a grand slam. It's like one of these creative players from like MLB The Show. You're like, all right, man. Like, good for that guy. Congrats. That's incredible. Move on.
Ildemargo Vargas hit a golf ball off of the cement, and it went down for a triple.
Like you're at Sky High. It's like, come on. It's like that. That was insane. That being said. You know, you see the kind of middle relief that we have right now. I wouldn't even say middle relief. I'd say, I guess, low leverage guys is probably the better way to say it. And I heard a rumor that David Morgan might have gotten sent down for someone that's coming up. That's going to probably be announced. I love David Morgan. He's been on our podcast. I still think his stuff is incredible. I think he finds his release a little bit better. He finds his zone a little bit better in El Paso. He'll be back up and still be a valuable arm for this team. That being said, there's guys that come in right now, Wandy Peralta, for example, where I'm not comfortable with him being in a game that's remotely close. I know he's getting paid. I know he's been a reliever in the bigs for almost 10 plus years, probably more, and he's been reliable. That being said, he came into that game. You have to do a job. He did not do a job. We lost that game. That was bad. You can't be – to be a great bullpen doesn't mean you have three guys that are good pitchers in your bullpen. A great bullpen is a bullpen where, you know, even the fifth or sixth guy can get you a big out in a big spot. And last year we had that. 2024, pretty much we had that. So far this season, we haven't had that fifth, sixth guy come in and really shove the door, you know, the fifth or sixth inning when Walker Buehler gives us, you know, 5 1/3, really strong innings, 2 earned runs. You're like, shout out Walker Buehler. Just kind of, we have no money this year. We're going to pick up Walker Buehler and Germán Márquez and pray for the best. You have those guys come in. Fifth, sixth inning. Kyle Hart gets a big out. Perfect example. Kyle Hart against, what was it, yesterday? Huge strikeout with the bases loaded.
2 days ago, yep.
2 days ago. Massive strikeout. You know, we need some of these guys to show up a little bit, to be completely honest. And Bradley's been great. Jerry's coming back, which is awesome. That's 4 or 5 guys that are legit. But those other 2 or 3... Those, if your starters are like our starters, not going past 6 innings, you're going to have those guys pitch a lot more than you think.
All right, are we? Let's get into this here. Kevin, are you there? Or are you frozen? I think Kevin's just like frozen.
I was like, that's pretty good.
Kevin, I agree, Kevin. I don't know. I don't know what's playing out here with Kevin. Hopefully he'll figure out the internet. Guys, while we wait for Kevin Acey to not be frozen. Okay, we're in a spinning circle. He's about to be back.
My man.
I feel like you had something to say, Kevin, and then all of a sudden you were just a spinning circle and frozen. Are you back?
I listen. The bullpen is where I left off. And gave up 2 runs on that game on Sunday. And you know, the game started to get out of hand when he gave up the 2 runs. Kyle Hart came in. He's come in twice lately where he locked down the inning, he stranded runners, and then he gave up runs. It's everybody in this bullpen. And like, yeah, I mean, it's in luck. So you can't get in relievers.
Kevin, where are you? Are you using Wi-Fi or 4G? Okay. Kevin, reset your internet and get back in here.
I think I know what he meant, though. Especially with Kyle Hart coming in, right? Comes in with runners on, gets that big out. That was awesome. That was huge. That big out was massive. Starting the inning, though, I honestly think, John, I wonder if you agree and the chat agrees. And Kev will come back and, you know, trust me, if there's one person to not be talking about Wi-Fi issues, it's your boy. I feel like I have Wi-Fi issues more than anyone. So I understand where Kev's at right now. I think the biggest issue with the bullpen right now isn't necessarily the home runs, John. You know, obviously, Wandy gave up that home run to PCA, kind of put the game out of reach. That was bad. The issue is the walks. Adrian Morihone yesterday, leadoff walk. He's not going to give up home runs. You can't walk, guys. You cannot let up free baseball. You cannot let up free base runners. Kev, what I was saying, and now that you're back.
Yeah,
it's always the old man. It's always the old man. It's my, yeah.
Let's just reset for a second. All right, Padres Collective. I don't even know where we are in this timeline, guys. If you're here, subscribe. If you're here, thank you for the super chats. We'll get to those towards the end of the night. Internet is always a story. Obviously, anytime you're doing a live stream on YouTube, it can be for any of us. But Padres enjoying an off day. They'll start a series against the White Sox again tomorrow, game one of a three-game set down at Petco Park. I think the point is, here's the other thing with the bullpen too. The bullpen's tied to your rotation. So when your rotation isn't working deep into games, if we looked at the number of innings thrown by the rotation, I doubt it's towards the top of baseball right now. Although I know in baseball, those working six plus innings obviously goes down and down and down every single year, specifically in April. But I mean, it's all tied together. It's like, oh, my shoulder hurts. Well, yeah, that's because, like, look at your hips and your knees. It's like, you know, it starts at the bottom and works its way up, or it starts at the top and works its way down. So to some extent, maybe the bullpen's been overtaxed. Some of this is probably on a rotation that now doesn't include Nick Pivetta. But yeah, at the end of the day, are we trusting the Padres bullpen? Yeah, of course. And are you trusting AJ Preller if he needs to add to it? Has he proven that he's capable of doing that? Obviously. So I think in the grand scheme, I don't think their bullpen is going to be like, man, the Padres were a really good team if not for their bullpen. I'm sure at the end of the day, their bullpen probably is going to do some of the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Like, I hesitate to bring this up because they really shouldn't at this point have to go out after what they've done the last 2 years to bring guys in, but they could, like you just said. If you remember, actually, the first half of 24, like, they don't make the playoffs if they don't add the guys they added in the 100%. Bullpen at the trade deadline. Last year, they go and they get Mason Miller. Like, they absolutely can do that. I wanted to say it earlier, and I'm like, you know what? I don't think they're going to get right at the trade deadline. Let's not talk about that. But you know what? They sucked in 24. I'm sitting in Kansas City that one game at the end of this, and that was when we knew that Yuki Matsui maybe wasn't so great.
I remember that one.
And they were, you know, they were having to use guys in spots that they shouldn't have had been used. And I want to say this. Jason Adam missed a couple weeks. Jeremiah Estrada's been out 3 weeks. I think he's coming back tomorrow. And now I'm not saying that he's going to save everything or whatever. And, but like, you're having guys, and that's what I was starting to say about Kyle Hart. You're having guys like Kyle Hart and Wandy Peralta pitch out of their lanes because they have to, because the rotation isn't covering what it's supposed to cover. Maybe because the reliever before them doesn't do his job. Also, the Cubs are freaking good. The Cubs have a deep, really good team. So anyway, like, I just want to say, like, I guess that goes with the Tatis thing, the core guys, is that it's still April. Like, you know, I think it'll be all right.
I also think relievers like to know their roles.
Absolutely.
Like, I like to know what I'm going to do in the morning. I wake up, I take my son to school. Whenever anything is amiss, all of a sudden, oh, there's this, you know, someone's coming over to check on your garage door. It throws the whole day off. And it's like, well, hold on. You hadn't previously used Adrian Morejon in, I'm making it up, sixth innings. And now he's being asked, as Fernando Tatis walks across the screen. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a routine that, by the way, isn't necessarily established in April. That's completely reasonable.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah, it plays out over the course of you get to August and September and your post deadline, and all of a sudden you're doing things that you hope to be doing well also in the postseason. That's if they make the postseason. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, and I've been the one to bring it up actually live on the radio, it's probably much ado about nothing. But this idea that it's like this vaunted, unhittable, impenetrable bullpen, it hasn't necessarily been that, but it may be, you know, 3 or 4 months from now.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right. I loved Kevin's point a little earlier, right? I think AJ is always working. I saw a quote from Dave Dombrowski, I think a week or two ago, where he said, "This is the earliest I've ever been fielding calls about trades, and it's April 30th, right?" He said that. I have no idea if that's true. You know, it could just be a random quote, but it was from, I think, a Phillies beat reporter or someone. I will not be worried about this bullpen. Like we said earlier, you know, our rotation right now, before Canning and Giolito, we're assuming they're going to come back and be these, you know, 3.8, 3.5 ERA guys that just never miss a start, come in and give us a shot every single game. I mean, our rotation's hung in there so far. Michael King's been fantastic. Randy V, I know he gave it that grand slam. That was a weird inning. He's been fantastic. You know, even Walker Buehler's hung in there to an extent. He's gotten out of big jams. Herman Marquez. That being said, you know, it's early, man. It's so early. And I loved your point too about knowing your role, John. You know, hey, Wandy Peralta should probably not ever pitch in a high leverage spot. And he probably shouldn't, as much as we want to believe he's a lefty that's going to come in and get us a double play, at his age right now and kind of how he's been pitching, at least from what I've seen as a Padres fan, I don't trust him in the seventh inning to get me a double play or get me a strikeout. Clean inning in the sixth when we're up or down two runs, I trust him in that spot. Yeah, that's fine. High leverage, seventh inning, two outs. We need a strikeout against the left. Kyle Schwarber's up. We're throwing in Wandy. I, as a fan, am going to say, this is a disaster. Reverse splits. That's bad. I think after that PCA homer, I think Don mentioned it right before the PCA homer. He's like, oh, yeah, Wandy, you know, his lefties are batting 340 against Wandy this year. Home run. You're like, oh, wow. I wish we would have known that. you know, it's cool. I think the pen will be all right. Bradley's been very impressive. You know, Jerry's coming back. It looks like he's gained a little weight. Obviously, I think he might have had like a little bit of a dead arm situation. Seems like and this is also a classic Twitter thing. I saw someone post his stats from his El Paso starts. Looked like he was sitting like 98. So hopefully he comes in and is the Jerry Estrada that we know and love, can give us and be that, you know, sixth, seventh inning guy, come in, get us a big out. Because right now we're really missing him.
Yeah, I hope remember that Morahone's been pitching in the sixth. And I'm not saying he wouldn't have a couple of those times based on matchups, but you know, just like when Adam was gone and they had to, you know, shuffle guys. And look, and they need to do their job, but it has been a little bit different.
I hope the Padres bullpen watches this back and says, wow, three humans spent 24 minutes talking about the Padres bullpen. When we're at a gala on April 30th, they spent 24 minutes talking about us as if this is like the most important thing in the history of the world. Let's get back to this in a moment. Before we do that, we do want to tell you about our friends over at Prize Picks. Let's pick a winning lineup and then make sure to use our promo code, which is HMA. Click the link in the description down below. Play $5, get $50 instantly in lineups with our friends over at Prize Picks. Let's live a little. Tatis homering in the opener against the White Sox, because why wouldn't he?
Why not?
Because of course he is. Muto Takamura-Kami is homering in the opener because.
Yeah, I think that. Hey, John, honestly, I think those are the two. I think anything more is a little aggressive, to be completely honest.
Anything more than that?
You just, I think that's a lock right there. Who's pitching? Germán Márquez. Oh, yeah, that ball's going. That ball's going. Murakami's hitting that to Del Mar, dude.
How about this? Going
far.
How about this? If that happens, and you know what? I'm going to add in one. I'm going to say Márquez strikes out four.
White Sox, because it. Fire me up.
So now all of a sudden, $5 pays $115, or you can flex it, which means you only have to get two right, and you can still win up to $90. That's how simple and easy it is to play at Prize Picks. Again, click that link in the description down below. Play $5, get $50 instantly in lineups. Where is Kevin?
I have no idea.
There you are, Kevin.
I didn't touch anything. That was you, Schaefer.
Where did you go, Kevin?
Kevin, what do you think? Took me out because I don't know anything about gambling. It's like you're speaking another language. I figured you just banished me because I don't add anything to this.
There will be a day, though, if we play Tatis to homer every day in Prize Picks, there will be a day that hits, right?
Well, Donna, you say that, but I pretty much have done that for the last, you know, 30 games. And Shaboy's account's hurting a little bit. I might need to, you know, I got to close some deals or something at work. Tatis is kind of he's killing my bank account. Tati, come on, baby. We need some help.
You guys did have to see that on Twitter, right? Like, I don't understand gambling and I don't know what's real on Twitter anymore. And but like, you saw this where people are losing all this money on him. Like, there's been 60,000 bets or something. And I don't know. But yeah, there's obviously a lot of people who are like, today's the day.
Well, yeah. So Tatis's odds are funny because they still think it's 20, that the bookmakers think it's 2021. Or the bookmakers kind of know it's not 2021, and the fans still think it's 2021. So you're like, oh, Tatis, cover the video game. He's definitely hitting a home run. These odds are nothing. He hasn't hit one yet. And then every other game, I'm like, oh, man, I just lost another $5. This is brutal.
Again, the code is HMA. Play $5. Get $50 instantly in lineups. Click that link in the description down below. All right, John Schaefer, Matt Devine, Kevin Acey hanging out. Please subscribe to this channel. This is the Padres Collective. We have weekly, year-round Padres content for you. Thank you for the super chats. We'll get to those coming up in the next 15 or 20 minutes. After our soliloquies, I mean, this was like Congress, like when you're just trying to stop a bill from passing. What's that called? You just stand up there and talk.
Oh, right. Filibuster?
Filibuster, nice.
Yes. Here's what I love, and I know we talked about this before, but you like remember there was a time where we couldn't have talked about the entire roster for 24 minutes. We would know, like, it just didn't matter. Like, by May 1st, what are we even doing talking about the Padres? Like, we're talking about prospects, right? Like, that's what we're talking about. When's Tatis going to be here, right? Like, or who's somebody that's been traded we thought was going to get here?
We're talking about Ryan Matthews.
This is what Yankees fans, like, have been doing forever, right? Is talking about like the minutiae of what could possibly keep their team from going to the playoffs or what could get them to the World Series. The fact that we spent 24 minutes on the relievers, it was a little bit much, all right? But it also is like, yes, as the guy who writes about the team and writes about 5,000 words a day about this team, it's actually really awesome to have a team that matters.
Yeah, Kevin, I completely agree. And I think the standard has raised.
Yeah.
To be completely honest, right? The reason why we're talking about this, you wouldn't talk about this on the 2017 Padres because that team you don't expect to do anything. I genuinely believe this is not only a playoff team, but if we get our ducks in a row and get some bats hot at the right time, I there's maybe one or two teams in baseball that I really would put above us when we're really rolling, especially seeing the depth that we have now in this lineup. Because now we have some guys that we didn't have last year coming off the bench. We have guys like Miguel Andujar with a little bit of pop. You got Ty France that could come in, play a good first base. Gavin Sheets, that guy's confident coming off the bench or either pinch hitting, DHing, playing first, even can play some outfield. We have some options there. So I think we should as fans, and I mean, I think the team knows this. I think the organization knows it. And I truly think the fans know it. Our standards changed, right? The reason why we're talking about this is because I truly believe this is a team that can make some noise if our big dogs hit and our bullpen is ready to rock.
If Mason Miller were on the Padres in 2017 or 18 and he was having the same run, what would we be talking about? Oh, what are they going to get for him at the deadline?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is awesome to be talking. Yeah. Let's talk another 24 minutes about these relievers.
On the bullpen. Here's the thing. I think that, like, Kevin, you know, because you work in the newspaper business, but, like, you got to have, like, the lead typically, like, in the newspaper business is not – it's not, like, the seventh best player on a team. Like, you're not, like – you're not writing, you know, cover stories at the UT on the front page of the actual paper, not the sports section about Miguel Andujar, but you might about Fernando Tatis Jr. because he resonates across the city. You could cover beyond – just sports, or maybe you do about Manny Machado, but you're not necessarily doing it about Gavin Sheets. With all due respect to these players, and at least in what I do as well on the radio, it's like, you know, it's like heavy is the head that wears the crown. Like, you have to be talking about Manny Machado. You have to be talking about Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jackson Merrill. You talked with me about yesterday, the core four. Yeah, Bogarts has lived up to his part of the equation, which is remarkable. We'll see if that continues. He's never put together a season in San Diego. He certainly has put together months. He's had a number of good months as a Padre. The Merrill, Tatis, Machado thing. I think Machado, you just say, trust him. He always gets to his numbers. That's always been the belief, and I think he will.
And until he doesn't, we say, that he will do it. Right.
The Merrill, Tatis thing is interesting. I mean, Merrill's a third-year player. He's not necessarily in his prime. It's almost like, I've been saying this, he's getting the pass. I think based on performance, you could certainly argue Merrill has had a worse year than Machado. But Machado gets – or excuse me, than Tatis. But Tatis gets the headlines because of the goose egg. It's like that's so obvious and so right in front of your face that it's letting other players remarkably like off the hook. Jake Cronenworth, obviously, is hitting 146. Yeah. That's insane based on how often he plays. Obviously, he's a regular. So it's just like I can't take my eyes off the Tatis story. I really cannot. It used to be I had to watch every single one of his plate appearances because the first 3 years of his career, he homered every 14 plate appearances. The last 4 years of his career, he probably is homering every 40 plate appearances. It's like, what on earth has happened to Fernando Tatis Jr.? And I know you've written about it, whether it's hard hit rates and exit velocities and launch angles. But all I know is with my two eyes when I watch him, he does not look like the same hitter that he was 7 years ago. I don't care what Baseball Savant says. There is no way he's just unlucky. It has to be beyond unlucky for me. And I think some people may disagree with that, but I will make that point until I'm blue in the face. I would die on that hill right now. This is not the same player that came up with the Padres.
I liked Matt's observation about yesterday's at bat for a couple of reasons. And the one we'll talk about now is that it was a pitch that he should have hit. And he has missed some of those. And now we've reached the point where you got to feel for him because, like, he knows every time that he's got to hit those because he can't afford to miss very many more of them. Like, so there's a lot that goes into it, including that he's a human and that he is getting frustrated, though I do want to say, and that at bat, you could see the frustration and you can see the frustration after the game. I think people are reading into it a little bit. I will maintain, I've seen him a lot worse than this. I think he's doing a really good job handling it because heavy is the head that wears the crown and he's wearing it. And I think that part of the reason that it's better is because he's matured. And part of the reason that it's better because the team's winning and that is important to him and that he's handling a little bit better. Look, his ground ball rate is basically the same as it's ever been, including 2021. His when he's putting the ball in the air in the optimum range for hits, it's as good as it's ever been by far. Not for home runs, though. He's lining out or hitting line drives. He's not getting under the ball. I have been pushing for him to go back to being the Fernando who tries, I don't want to say tries to hit home runs, but, you know, pulling the ball more.
100%.
Smart people tell me I'm full of it. Man, Fernando almost got, like, perturbed with me when I brought it up. Like it's impressive that he's staying with his approach and all these hits, the other field and all that, but it's like, what if Fernando hits 300? Is that why Fernando Tatis Jr. got the $340 million contract? Is that why there was going to be a statue of him? Like, no. Now, I will say this. I noticed it, and people a lot smarter than me about baseball noticed it. Well, a lot smarter than me, too, in general. But the guy gets pitched as hard as anyone on this team. I'm not trying to make an excuse for him. I just mentioned 10 different things that are contributing to this that support that it's not just luck, John, or it's not that he sucks. There's a lot going on, including that he gets pitched, like, really – like really hard. He's the guy that teams are worried about.
It's always all been between the ears for Fernando Tatis Jr. I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, it's the steroids, it's this or that. It's always been between the ears. I love Fernando Tatis Jr. He's my favorite player. He'll probably always be my favorite player. Like you mentioned, John, him coming up, I bought my season tickets for the Padres because he signed that contract. Yeah. I was instantly locked in. I named my cat after him. He is my favorite player.
That being
said, it's always been between the ears. There's a reason why you go and play for the Dominican Republic and you hit those home runs and then you're playing against for the pods and it's just not working the same.
Well, the kid from Israel who's in Double A isn't pitching right now.
So Kevin, that being said, I truly don't believe it's the pitching because I think it's completely within he needs to see one go by. He just needs to see one go. And I think he is really, and like you mentioned, he's taking the brunt, right? Everybody's writing articles. I have people in my office in San Francisco being like, oh, your boy, you know, you have the same amount of home runs as Fernando Tatis Jr. Right. Shout out my friend, Katie Stokes, big Giants fan. Tough two walk-offs today, Katie. Love you. But that was tough day for the Gigantes. I love Tati to death. I think he's going to be all right. I truly believe you, Kevin. And I know the quote unquote smarter people are saying, oh, you have no idea what you're talking about. Well, I do see he has a 609 OPS and a 72 OPS plus. So I hate to say it, after 100 plus ABs, maybe those smart people should start saying what me and Kevin are saying, which is, Fernando, start hitting some freaking bombs. I don't care if you strike out. Move them down in the lineup. There's a reason why Luis Arraez did not get re-signed with the San Diego Padres. Luis Arraez is a better contact hitter than Fernando Tatis Jr. He is. He's a much better contact hitter than Fernando Tatis Jr. I didn't name my cat after Luis Arraez. I named my cat after Fernando Tatis Jr. I didn't name him Arraez. If I get another one, maybe. No. there is a the fact that Tatis everywhere in San Diego. You go to 7-Eleven, there's a Tatis thing. You go to Ralph's, there's a Tatis thing. You don't make those after guys that hit singles. Oh, wow. 112 off the bat. That was awesome. And I'm saying that because that's my guy. And he's hitting the ball hard. It'd be one thing if he was Jake Cronenworth with the noodle bat that can't seem to ever hit anything. This guy is actually hitting the ball hard. It's just he's not going over the fence. Tatis, brother, it's May. Hit the ball over the fence. I don't care if you strike out. If he strikes out against the White Sox, if he strikes out 11 times and hits two home runs, you think anyone will care in this fan base?
No, everyone will take that. What? But
people are going to be like, ecstatic. They're like, he's back. He's back. Hit a home run. Go for it.
What's more logical, though? Like, seriously, like, what would people be saying outside of San Diego? Like, what's more logical? That Tatis isn't Tatis because he was suspended for steroids and he's had every injury under the sun, shoulder, wrist, broken leg. Like, has that played a role? But Johnny's hitting the ball hard. Okay, but advanced analytics only should support things that are occurring, not the opposite. Like, you can't hit the ball hard all year and hit 9 home runs and say, well, he hit the ball hard. I mean, hitting the ball hard doesn't create, to Kevin, your earlier point, loft or like launch angle. I mean, he's hitting the ball hard. I don't care how hard he's hitting the ball. Go watch his swings, his strokes in 2019 through 2021. I wasn't saying, well, he's homering and he's hitting the ball hard. I don't care how hard he was hitting it or how far the home runs were going. I just want to see the end result. And I get it. It's still a sample size. Where 130, 140 plate appearances, I want to look at the advanced analytics too and say, okay, maybe because of the sample size, something will even itself out. But
remember,
isn't
he
the sample size 3+ years?
Last year, he went 132 plate appearances at the end of last year without a home run. So it's not just this.
But he didn't hit, and he didn't really hit for power.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, he did. What was his OPS plus last year? 110 to 115.
It was higher. It was higher, but he the power wasn't there.
There's 125 last year.
That was 129. I mean, it's 125.
But you know what I mean? But that's not the play. But do we all am I crazy? Is he
no? He's 162. Juan Soto was the only better player than him.
So how do we explain this? What is the reasonable explanation for a 27-year-old going from a 160 OPS plus to 115 for the last or 120 or whatever it is for the last? It's very hard for me to wrap my mind around it without thinking. He's either damaged goods or like to be completely unbiased on it. It's like, or the suspension played a role in his play.
And, you know, again, then there's a lot on him. It's absolutely impossible to not think all of these things. Everyone is justified. And, I mean, it's a priority to me to treat these guys as humans and to be as fair 100%. As possible. But I mean, every once in a while, I got to talk to Fernando about that. Like, what's up with that? It's real. He's a completely different player. That said, in 2024, he was pretty darn close to pre-suspension Tatis on one leg. So I just refuse to believe if you also then throw in the types of plays he makes in the field, the way that he still runs, the brain he has for the game, the fact he's hitting the ball hard. I just refuse to believe that he is damaged goods. I do. That's not to say, I shouldn't say refuse to believe, because as a journalist, that's not the right thing. Like I have to be open to minded to everything. I don't believe he's damaged goods based on what I see.
It's as simple as this, and I said it earlier, I truly believe it. It's all mental. It's always been all mental for this guy. He has so many things. It's everybody's on his tail for this. Exactly. Every single person. You know, The Athletic, San Diego Union Tribune, the DSG tweeting.
The DSG!
No, that's what I'm saying. The DSG tweeting. He
goes to Instagram. He's like, oh, man.
Every game. I'm donating $5 until he hits a home run to the Lucky Duck Foundation.
Oh, yeah. That's cool,
right? Great.
That's great.
I love the Lucky Duck, and I will donate more. I hope I never have to donate again so he hits a home run tomorrow, right? I don't run out of money. For this reason. Sorry. I truly believe it's all mental, man. Sorry, not for yeah. That came off wrong.
You're gonna need the lucky duck.
I want to do it again, but for better reasons. For better reasons. It's all mental for Fernando, man. It's always been all mental. I truly believe it. He's had a crazy. Really think about this guy. When you really think about it, you go, you get traded, right? You're son of a MLB player. Get traded for Eric Johnson and James Shields, or with Eric Johnson for James Shields, right? You come in. Mm-hmm. Preller, Padres suck at this time. It's you and Luis Urias. People are like, oh, this kid in the minors is pretty good. Padres are awful. Padres are awful. 2016, 2017, 2018. Number one farm in baseball. This kid Tatis and Luis Urias are going to be, you know, up the middle for the next decade. They're going to be incredible. Obviously, we saw what happened with Luis Urias. Tatis comes up in 2019, takes the league by storm, or at least takes the Padres fan base by storm. We're like, this kid is pretty awesome, right? And I remember, I'll never forget, against the Pirates, he tagged up from third on a, short fly ball to second base right outside, then slides in. Franmil Reyes is giving him high fives. I'm like, I love this guy. 2020, COVID season, becomes Tatis, the 3-0 against the Rangers. He becomes this mythical guy. I'm like, San Diego, since LT, we finally have a guy again, at least in my lifetime. I would think LT with the Chargers was a guy and Tatis was a guy. We had great players, but a true guy, a true like front of, you know, on Madden, on MLB The Show. That's who he is. 2021, incredible run. Just what a season, right? Obviously, the team falters off. Manny and him yelling in the dugout against during the National Series. It happens. We're like, oh, that's a bummer. But we have a guy, and we have a guy for a long time. Offseason, motorcycle, all this stuff, comes back. We trade for Soto, busted for roids. The whole storyline of Fernando Tatis Jr. has been truly insane when you think about a normal player. You think Bobby Witt Jr. has had this? Has Vladdy had this? Has even Juan Soto had this? No, all the off the... This guy just needs to take a couple deep breaths. Brother, you're getting paid no matter what. Just take a couple deep breaths. Live that campy lifestyle. It's going to be good. Fernando, you don't hit a home run the next 3 weeks, we're still going to be showing up to the ballpark, brother. Just go up to the plate and, hey, who cares? Who cares? Delete the apps off your phone. Just go up there and swing for the fences. Honestly, that's what I would tell him. If I was Steven Souza, because we know you can hit the ball hard, just swing for the fences. Get that ball out of the park. Get a few on, hey, get it. Even if you strike out, get a few over the fence, have it happen. I want this guy to be back. And even if he's not quote unquote back, even if he doesn't hit 40 plus home runs again, I just want this guy to look like when he's at the plate that he wants to punish baseballs over the fence. It's great that you want to punish the baseballs, you know, up the middle for a single. That's awesome. But I want to see homers, man. The fan base wants to see homers. And I know it's April. In the playoffs, if he comes through and goes 3-for-4, sign me up. But during against the White Sox this weekend, try to hit a home run. Sorry for that rant, but it's I love this
don't
guy, man.
I apologize.
I really do love this guy a lot, and he really is. I have, for someone younger than me, I really want to see him going, and I hate seeing him get cooked. Really, he's the one guy I really do not like seeing.
Can I say this? I'm with you. He's one of my favorite players to watch in my as like just a baseball fan. No joke. Going back to the time I was 6, but like some of me, like I don't have the sympathy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's had his career is crazy compared to Bobby Witt. He brought it on himself.
100%.
And the injuries, by the way, are almost self-inflicted. The wrist thing is so inexcusable.
The wrist thing's bad.
The wrist thing was ridiculous. The suspension, I'm sorry, it's inexcusable for a player of his caliber. Off 100%. That deal. Already signed that deal. And I get it. There's pressures. I'm not going to completely cast the player for forever, although he is in baseball. I mean, you could throw out any, you know, accomplishing things that few and far between has done. Hey, he's not even doing that as a player, even if he didn't have the suspension. The player you saw the first 3 years, I would like to see it again. And I know the Padres feel the same way. They have to feel, and everyone has their theories. We all do. And then I'm reading quotes from Steven Souza and from hitting instructors and organizations. And I don't even know. I talk about it obsessively, and Kevin's asked about it obsessively, and Matt tweets about it. You know, like, so it's all part of our like daily consciousness.
It's
just frustrating.
I started writing about it like 3 weeks ago thinking, I'm going to write about this because he's going to hit a home run any day. Yep. Look, I don't know that I 100% agree with that it's all mental. But Matt, like you're onto something, and I will always stick up for a player for being himself, right? Now, Fernando being himself was riding on the back of a scooter in the Dominican in the mountains, you know, whatever the else he's doing, surfing, doing backflips off of palm trees. I don't know, but like that was Tatis, right? Like it's all good, right? I'm doing backflips on the beach. Like, and you know, we've harnessed him a little bit, right? Because that was all destructive. You can't be that way, right? But I've covered a lot of guys like that. Look, Mickey Mantle back in the day, I'm not comparing Mickey Mantle's vices with Tatis, but like no one was shutting Mickey down because if you shut Mickey down at 4 a.m., Mickey wasn't hitting two bombs the next day. Good. I've covered guys like that where like you gotta let them be themselves and maybe they've harnessed. And now I'm getting into your freaking conspiracy fan stuff, Matt. Damn it. You drew me in, man.
That's what I do. No, I love it. I just truly, and I think the entire fan base, I honestly think everyone that either roots for the Padres, works for the Padres, is on the Padres, everyone wants to just see him get going, man. And really just
life is more fun.
That is spot on right there, Kevin. It's just when you tune in, you know, baseball is a distraction for a lot of people, right? And it's fun. And it's something that, you know, I get 2.5-3 hours a day where I'm like, I get to love and watch my favorite team. I get to text my friends from growing up, you know, call my parents, be like, you see that game, you see this or that. Tatis is one of those few players that really stands out that you really like go and, you know, you buy the jersey, right? And like, he's one of those few guys. And so far, it's great that he's incredible at defense and he's hitting the ball hard. But the last few years, I completely agree. And I just want him to just, because I will say, and you said this earlier, Kevin, John, you might have said it too, 2024 playoffs. That's a real, real run he had. He was incredible. Obviously, we get knocked out, 24 scoreless, it happens. That being said, that run, that guy is still in there. I will argue with anyone any day of the week. I know what guy is still in there. I just don't know how we break him out. I really don't. And I truly believe something's going to happen and he's going to break out. I don't know if it's tomorrow. Love it to be tomorrow, but I really hope it happens.
Real to my bow on it is I will say that it's the thing is, I don't think it's all mental and I don't think it's all physical, but both are a factor for me as in the physical part of it. I mean, like to your point, Kevin, the Tatis rules. Oh, you got to have two hands on the bat. Oh, you can't steal. I'm going back through all the years. Oh, you can't play in the infield. You're going to get hurt. Oh, you can't tag up if the ball's shallow. Oh, you can't run into a catcher. Oh, you can't slide head first. Oh, you can't have a pop-up slide. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what restrictions. They put him in a box, and you got to get him out of that. But I even think if you took him out of the box now, he's not the exact same. It's just that's all my point. And some people really have a hard time believing that. I don't think Padres fans want to hear that, which I understand. Completely understand it. I don't want to say it, but I have to be honest because I just think that, again, I think it's between mental and physical. And I think even if you took everything away, if you peeled it all back, I don't think he's the same. Could be wrong. I hope I am. I don't think he's the same.
I'm not going to solve anything here. I'm just, you know, like it's a big shame because one thing that we all shared, like basically every Padres fan in 2019, 20, 21, is that we all shared, we knew we had to be in our seat when he was coming up. Exactly. That we did. And we had never seen that before.
I don't know if it was a grand slam or what, but I think it was 2021 against the Mets on the road. He hit like a go-ahead three-run or grand slam home run. And I'll never forget, I was at my now fiance's sister's graduation at UCLA, and I ran to my phone because we were in the pool because I thought he was coming up. And I caught literally two pitches before I got on my phone, watched that home run. It was like left center field. And I'm like, this guy is like the greatest thing I've ever seen. And let's be honest, I don't want it to be what John said. I don't want you to be right.
I get it.
John, I love you. I really hope as a fan.
I hope he makes me look like an idiot. Three years ago said Ohtani sucked and he had like back-to-back 9 RBI games with 17 strikeouts.
Well, no, John, the issue is that there's a real, if you were to say gun in my head right now, are you more right than wrong? I would say you're more right. and it sucks.
Yeah, that's the problem. I know. Yeah,
100%.
I agree. It sucks. Let's get to some of these super chats before we get out of here, guys. If you want to support the channel, if you want to see your comment on screen, if you've got a question for myself or Kevin or Matt, you can click the dollar sign below the chat box. This did come in from Dave. Thank you, man, for the super chat. He says, didn't lose ground in the division, didn't gain ground. Like last year, Dodgers begged us to take it, and we said no. It's early, but the PTSD is real. I'm not, I don't know how you guys are not overly concerned about staying.
Don't stress about that.
No, I don't want to dismiss that. I don't want to dismiss that of me because I mentioned it this morning. And it always occurs to me, how often is it when the Padres, and it's way too early, agreed. But it happens in August and September too, when the Padres catch the Dodgers and then the Dodgers are scuffling and the Padres, every time that the Dodgers lose, the Padres always lose. Right. And so I get fans being like, what? This is like every time. But yes, way too early to be talking about that.
You agree?
Yeah. Matt, sorry. Yeah. I didn't know if I was supposed to hop in.
Yeah, you're good.
I couldn't agree more. Guys, I truly, and I'm not trying to sound like a loser, I am not worried about the NL West in the slightest. If we win the NL West, that is awesome. And we'll pop champagne on the Padres collective. That being said, just keep, get the ducks in the row, get the big dogs hitting. The standings really don't matter to me right now. July 4th, if we're five games up, then we'll start talking about it. But right now I'm not worried about the NL West at all.
Real quick, just 2 cents on this series. Obviously, the White Sox come in 13-17. Munetaka Murakami has taken baseball a little bit by storm with his production. For a moment, maybe some people thought he could land in San Diego. Maybe. I don't know. I pushed that narrative just because I wanted people in the live stream this offseason on YouTube at the time, John and Jim. But the White Sox, I don't know, pesky, a little bit of power. But at the end of the day, they'll probably end up with 70 wins, something like that would be my guess.
They got some dangerous young pitchers. I think two of them are pitching this week, and that's where you go, they are a pesky team, like where they, that's going to be their strength in the future, building from within with the starting pitching. And I forget who it is.
Noah Schultz
is pitching. Yep. Noah Schultz is pitching tomorrow night against Marquez. So anyway, like I think it's a dangerous series. I was looking going, okay, so I know they got these pitchers. I've seen them in spring training. Okay. I can't figure out why they're not like 4-20, like besides Murakami, like, and you know what? They have some decent starting pitching. I think that's probably it. And they have three guys with six bombs and the Padres have one guy with five. That's their leader. So maybe that helps too.
You want to be a good team, you got to beat the White Sox on the weekend series, and you got to beat them hard. And I'm thinking 2 or 3 at least. Try to sweep them. If you want to be a team that we talk about in the ranks of the Dodgers and the Braves and the Yankees, you have to beat up on teams like the White Sox. I'll give the Cubs the Cubs offense is great. They are a good baseball team. Mm-hmm. They beat us in the playoffs. That lineup is deep. They didn't have their best starting pitching. A lot of their bullpen's out. That's a good team. Could we have swept them? We could have. Could we have also gotten swept? We probably could have as well. So that was a good baseball series. Could have went either way. The White Sox are coming to town. White Sox have no playoff aspirations. In the future, could they be good? Absolutely. And good for the White Sox. That being said, they're not good right now. You have to win. 2 or 3 or sweep. Anything less is a disaster, in my opinion.
Yeah, win the series, and I think you'll feel great. You're not going to win every series. They lost the series to the Cubs. Absolutely. That's fine. And I think if you bounce back by winning a series, you feel like your trajectory remains what it was before that Cubs series. All right, guys, before we get out of here, anything you want to promote or push? I see Matt's got his divine.
Yeah. If you want to buy a hat, feel free. I'd just say I'm very excited to officially I've met – my man, John Schaefer, in real life at the Vegas, SDSU Players Era Tourney. But I think I mean my man, Kevin Acey, in real life for the first time when the Pods take on the Giants next week. So excited to grab a coffee with Mr. Acey.
Hopefully coffee? I thought you were taking him to Ruth Chris.
I would love, whatever Kevin wants, it's on me. My mom already texted me. She's like, you better pay for his coffee. I was like, already going to do that no matter what.
Did she tell you to call me Mr. Acey too, you jackass?
Mr. Acey. Very excited. Hopefully, 2 or 3 or a sweep against the White Sox. Come up to the Bay. Giants are struggling. Their bullpen is terrible. Come up, win a couple of series. Hopefully we hop on the Pods Collective next time and we're rolling again. And we're talking about how crazy we were talking about Tatis and Merrill struggling.
Kevin, what something? Do you got going on in the UT? What about your travels? Are you like, going, are you unpacked?
Yeah, that's how it is. That Mexico City one was was rough. They're all rough, but like that was something. That was something for the players too. I thought it was remarkable they came back and won. Those guys were on fumes. Yeah. And I think that I guarantee you, I mean, I was told, but so I guess it's easy for me to guarantee you. Like Mexico City, the five games in altitude, the 5 3-hour games basically, had a lot to do with what Manny went through. That's something that I probably didn't give enough credit to them for, is that was a pretty rough travel week.
And how many times have you heard in baseball, Kevin, because I heard all the time in the minor leagues, it's not the day you get back, it's the day after the day you get back. It's game two, and sometimes longer. I mean, you're human beings. I mean, when you have travel like that, and I know it's first class travel, this, that, and the other, but I mean, it adds up.
I will tell you this, for me, that I got back and that Monday I was fine, man. And that was a like 30-hour day, basically. I was fine. I've been dragging for 2 days until I got on the collective and Matt started ranting. Now I'm jacked up and I'm able to sleep.
I apologize if people chat. There's nothing that would get me happier than if Tatis just has a nice little stretch here. And I'm not saying stretch, like it's not like he's not hitting the ball, just a couple homers. Feed the kids at home. Just cut two or three, and we'll be ready to rock.
My big push now is I need his first home run to be an inside the Parker.
That would just be.
His first home run to be an inside.
In a weird way, John, I honestly think if he does that, that might be the thing that just cracks the code in his brain, and he's like, "Oh, like this is a dumb sport. I'm awesome," and just like start hitting.
Petco's a place it could happen. Oracle's a place it could happen. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I mean Williamsport, it may happen if they're playing on the. I'm just kidding. You can catch me, Schaefer and Slee, with San Diego Sports 760 weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m., including tomorrow. Kevin, by the way, I think you have the day off from Schaefer and Slee because we are doing an Aztec spring football game golf event at Riverwalk.
Very nice.
Okay. John Lewis. And so enjoy your day, which I'm sure your whole day was revolving.
You're still paying me. Let's go.
Yeah, you're good. We'll talk to you on Monday on the radio. Guys, please subscribe to this channel. Let's get to 2,100 subscribers. We need your help to do that. Smash the like button for us. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks as well. We are back Wednesday night. Today's Thursday. So in 6 days, we'll be back Wednesday night at 8:30, recapping a Padres-Giants series, I believe, when we're on the air on Wednesday night. Good stuff, guys. For Matt Devine and Kevin Acey, I'm John Schaefer. This has been the Padres Collective presented by PrizePicks. We'll see you Wednesday night. Thanks, guys. Peace.